This is It's PR, Not ER, your weekly dose of triumphs and mishaps in the world of public relations.
Well, hello. Welcome along to the show that looks back at the good and the bad and the ugly PR decisions we've seen this week. My name is Nick Wilmshurst. Hello. And this podcast isn't just for PR nerds. For the next however long we feel like it and for as long as you can take it, we're talking about the stuff that fuels conversations at kettles in offices and at school gates across the land. So, like a rock band who have to put out a difficult third album, this is our difficult third episode. But what's in it? Well, I'm going to be looking at where we put our trust in social media. Martha Phillips is also here.
Hi, I'm going to be looking at Blake Lively versus Justin Baldoni case.
And Lewis Scott is here too.
I am, and I'm going to be looking at Bonnie Blue. If you don't know, Google it.
I mean, for those that do know they're in for a heck of a ride, right? Oh,
yeah, episode 3, it's the big one to talk about it.
Can we just put an age on that as well? Only Google if you're 18 plus.
Yeah, 18 plus Google. And
maybe not on a work computer.
Yeah, I'd avoid work computers. Any more disclaimers? Yeah. Could be quite a worrying one, this, but yeah. Just get your background knowledge on it, and then when we talk about it, we'll know what's going on.
I'm just looking forward to seeing how you handle it.
And we've got a Pantone red chart here. And no sport, Lou.
No, I'm joking. I was under strict instructions from Martha last week.
No, you weren't.
She's made some digs. Let's just put it that way.
I didn't want digs.
I should speak about something other than sport. So,
what have you chosen?
Bonnie Blue.
Unbelievable. We've all got a nice cup of tea with us for episode 3, haven't we?
Yes.
Thanks to Lewis for making those.
What a revelation, by the way.
Oh.
It's not just a hot tap.
What? Hang on a minute. So this is the spitty hot tap that we've got here where we record the podcast.
Yeah.
I find it dangerous because it just releases its hot juice everywhere.
Said Bonnie.
That's funny.
Come on, back in the room.
So it's not just a hot tap. I did make it through making the brews. Couple of difficulties this week.
Right.
Because for some reason, it kept giving me sparkling water out of a tap.
Whoa, hang on a minute. A tap that I assume it does normal water, right?
Yeah. So I had to wash the cups first with normal water.
Normal mains water, we've got hot water, and we've got sparkling water.
Sparkling water with
this real?
Yep.
Are you sure it wasn't just the water gone off?
No, water that's gone off.
I know exactly what you mean there, when you leave it in a glass and it just forms bubbles from nowhere.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, it genuinely gives you sparkling water.
Wow, our journey with the hot tap continues.
It is one of those things, sparkling water from a hot tap. It is one of those signs that we are actually living in the future.
We are.
So I was probably the one in episode 1. That was the most pro hot tap.
Right.
Mm.
The fact that it does sparkling water as well, does that change your minds on hot taps?
Makes it worse for me.
Why?
Because what are we going to find out it does next week?
That's a good point.
Is it going to start pouring out brewed tea?
Well, no, that's the point of the hot water, isn't it? That you make your own tea.
Yeah. I just don't know how I feel about it.
We've got a SodaStream.
We need to taste it.
SodaStream. The original tap.
They are old school.
Yeah, and I kind of think that's good enough.
Mm.
And the other issue I've got with sparkling water hot tap is that's another thing you've got to maintain. That's another thing.
Yes.
That won't just make sparkling water from nowhere. Mm. You're going to need to put a canister of the magic gas.
To be fair, me and Lou visited an office recently and they had Prosecco on tap.
That's just ridiculous.
But it wasn't great.
Not a good Prosecco?
No.
That's because people will have been putting their lips to the tap and drinking.
You still drank it though,
did you?
Yeah, I did. Of course you did.
SodaStream, they're amazing.
I love SodaStream.
Homemade Prosecco with it. Talking of Prosecco.
Are we talking about putting wine in the thing and then putting the bubbles in? Well, is that what you did?
My son got a slush puppy machine for Christmas one year and I don't think he's ever made, or I've ever made him a slush puppy in it, but the frozen margaritas that slush puppy machine makes are amazing.
Right.
And he said, "Mummy, can we make a slush puppy, my slush puppy machine?" I said, "No, it's for frozen margaritas now."
So you've commandeered it and your offspring does not get to play with it whatsoever.
No,
I think that's
no.
a bit cruel, if I'm honest.
Charles, if you want to talk, yeah. you know where I am.
Uncle Lou.
I will buy you a slush puppy machine.
We also, before we get going as well, need to explain exactly what this podcast is all about. We look at stories that have happened across the last week, anywhere really, and we decide whether they go in the
Hall of Shame
or, more nicely, the Hall
of Fame.
We really want to hear from you, so contact the show. The email is there, sitting there, beside this podcast in the show notes. So send us an email if you've got any comments. You might even end up in the thankers bit later on. Let's hope so. And please do tell your friends about this podcast if you like it. Don't if you don't. And follow and subscribe us. It really helps us grow as a show and reach more people with our weekly stuff that we talk about. Shall we launch in to it? Whose go is it to go first?
I think I should
it's
go
you,
first.
Martha,
yeah. Is it you?
This is very, very juicy.
It's juicy.
And getting juicier.
And also quite confusing.
Yes, so bear with me.
I'm looking forward to you making sense of this for people.
Thanks, Nick. So Blake Lively versus Justine Baldoni case. Have you seen the film It Ends With Us?
Yes, I have.
Last year. Did
I
you like it?
I actually went to the cinema to watch that.
I've not seen it. Tell me what it's about.
The book It Ends With Us, written by Colleen Hoover. Excellent book, by the way, for those of you that haven't read it. It addresses domestic abuse, sexual harassment in the film. I won't say any more. Watch it if you haven't watched it. Co-stars Blake Lively and Justine Baldoni, and Justine Baldoni also directed the film. The film was very successful. It had a budget of about 20 million, but it grossed at around 60 million. But the success of the film was overshadowed because when they did all the publicity and promoting the film, rumours were starting to circulate about Justine and Blake not getting on. I love the way we talk about them like we know them, but I'm going to call them by the first names. So they weren't seen together on any of the red carpet appearances or any of the publicity around the film. The success, I think, was overshadowed by the real drama that's been behind the scenes with the film. Lively has accused Baldoni of sexual harassment during filming, inappropriate behaviour and improvising intimate scenes without consent. She also claims that his PR team has orchestrated a smear campaign against her to damage her reputation. There was an article in the New York Times, they became involved in the legal dispute, and very much if you read it, it's biased towards Blake Lively. And after that article, Baldoni filed a lawsuit against the New York Times, accusing them of defamation of character. He's then countersued Blake Lively, and both parties have engaged PR crisis teams to represent them. He's also countersued her husband and their publicist, as in Ryan Reynolds. And he's now accusing them of also orchestrating a smear campaign against him and taking over the film of which he was directing. And interestingly, what's come out of it is some scenes have been written by Ryan Reynolds and almost directed by Blake Lively. So he feels like he was bullied into accepting a change in some of the scenes he was directing to be more directed by them. This has intensified since the beginning of Christmas when all this started. And it's actually almost become a battle of the PR teams as well, because they keep planting stories and releasing footage in order to protect, obviously, their client, whether that's Blake Lively or Justine Baldoni. But the reason this case has so many layers to it is because a lot of footage has resurfaced of Blake Lively where she has come across rude in some past interviews, mainly when she was younger. But the other layers, so just to add to all of this, Stephanie Jones, who's Justin Baldoni's former publicist, she's filed a law case against Baldoni for unfair dismissal, and she claims she didn't know anything about the smear campaign that they were orchestrating against Lively, but she's admitted that there was one, and there's a dispute with the contract and then unfair dismissal. Baldoni's current crisis publicist is the same one that Depp employed during his trial against his ex-wife Heard. And then I find this, what I'm about to say next, probably one of the most interesting parts of this case and one of the most interesting layers. Leslie Salone, who is Blake Lively's publicist, received funding from the Weinstein company, Harvey Weinstein, to fund her new PR company, Vision PR. So again, strange connection, do you know what I mean? Given that this is a case against inappropriate behaviour, sexual harassment. Ironically, that's what the film was about. But there's a Weinstein-Harvey connection as well in here. Interesting, the Depp and Amber connection. So can you see how many layers there are
yeah,
to this?
Yeah, I mean, it runs deep, doesn't it?
It's
it runs really
complex.
Deep.
Complex.
So the latest this week is Justin's team have released a 10-minute behind-the-scene video, which is one of the videos that Blake Lively's talking about, in that where she feels uncomfortable and it's improvised intimate scenes where she doesn't get a say in it. But I guess that could be his directing style. And the reason his team have released this video is to show that actually it was in a room full of people, there's nothing untoward, it is improvised, he's just directing it, and then they're even in it chatting about their husband and wife. He's sort of saying, I think at this point we should be doing this. She's saying it proves that she looks very uncomfortable. She's pulling away, and she's also saying in it, I think we should be talking now rather than being intimate. And she said that she was trying to get away from the intimacy and saying, let's just pretend we're talking in this scene. So if you haven't seen that, have a look at that. And then on the back of this, Blake Lively and her husband have now requested a gag order against Baldoni's legal team, and in particular his lawyer, Brian Friedman, saying that obviously anything they are releasing could affect the case and be misconstrued. And then Baldoni's legal team are saying they're just, it's part of the narrative and to defend Baldoni's name. So for me, it's just getting messier and messier by yeah. the week. It's become also a battle of the PR teams and the crisis PR teams. And at what point are they going to be advised to either, let's maybe try and settle this out of court, let's stop going to the papers, both of them, with whatever story they want it to be planted or narrative or footage. Because if this does go to court, in between, they're just going to be constantly throwing mud and shade at each other. And when does it stop?
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, is this down to the PR people now to just say, let's draw a line under this because it's not helping it? I mean, if you were in their shoes, Martha, what would you do at this point? You know, as you've just pointed out, there are so many layers to it.
So many
arguments and counter-arguments. How do you now withdraw yourself from this? Indeed, if they want to, they may want to see this through to the bitter end. But what would your advice be to them to move this forward? Because this just seems to be stalled in a storm of he said, she said.
I think what it's doing is belittling a very serious subject here and the real cause of this case, which is sexual harassment and inappropriate behaviour. They need to stop, I would say, releasing statements. I feel like a lot of it is knee-jerk. It's like a game of chess, isn't it? One makes a move, then the other does. And I would be saying now, almost, do the legal teams meet and reach an agreement to keep anything else out of the press now until it gets to the court, or certainly try and settle out of court? From a PR point of view, I feel like, again, it's become more about the PR teams and the crisis teams, and now the lawyers are having to defend themselves and put out statements about their actions. When really, I think if I was advising Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, I would be saying just don't say or do any more now. We don't know the outcome yet of that gag order against Baldoni's lawyer, because that only happened recently as well. But it's just getting ridiculous, isn't it? And I think what's sad is as well, it's sort of taken away from the Me Too movement and that campaign and all that stood for. It's almost like become a hate campaign.
So obviously I have seen the film, and I think, like you say, it highlights a very, very important issue. Obviously it's about domestic abuse and sort of sexual harassment whilst you're with a partner. And I think that what's actually happening with this is now the film is almost getting that negative connotation because of the two playground dramas.
Well, they're trying to protect their reputations, aren't they? And each other's trying to damage it further. But I think you've got to get to the point where you just say, right, we won't comment anymore.
And it also, I think, highlights this obviously isn't the first time that something along these lines, I'm not saying the exact same thing has happened in terms of sort of the Hollywood movie scene. It potentially leads people to ask the question whether there's a toxic culture in Hollywood as a whole.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's obviously universal throughout, but it's not the first time that something like this has happened. It won't be the last. Is there a wider issue, and do things need putting in place before it gets to this point so that it doesn't basically give them the publicity that they both clearly desire out of it?
And I think Lewis is right. I think it's symbolic of some of the broader issues in Hollywood that probably need to be addressed. But
what are you going to do with this?
So it's a really tricky one of where I'm going to put them, Hall of Shame or Hall of Fame. I think Blake Lively coming forward, obviously, and
that's the thing, isn't it? Because none of this should mean that any woman or any person should feel put off about coming forward about something that they... And that's the real danger with this, isn't it?
Yeah.
That this turns into something where women yet again feel they are put in a position where they can't say anything because then it just ends up
it's
in
not
a
worth
big
it
mess
type
like
thing,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I'm not putting her, and I'm not going to put any of the celebrities in any of the Hall of Shame or Hall of Fame. I'm going to put the teams behind them in the Hall of Shame.
Hall of Shame.
Who's going to go next?
I think that probably leads quite nicely onto your topic, Nick.
Well, yeah, this week, I mean, we've touched on this previously on the podcast, but I think the whole situation surrounding social media is becoming really tricky if you use it to post on. All the main platforms at the minute, I think, have a bit of a problem with them. So let's look at them. So Twitter, for example, or X, run by a guy who at the presidential inauguration this week did, to all intents and purposes, what looked exactly like a Nazi salute.
Mm.
Obviously, he's very much in charge of X. He posts on there himself quite regularly. Facebook and Instagram. The guy behind that said, in the past few days, last week, that there needs to be more masculine energy at the top of all businesses, which I think is not exactly what you call a popular opinion at the minute, because a lot of people would say, well, there already is quite a lot of masculine energy at the top of most big corporations at the moment. There was also the thing with Mark Zuckerberg about misinformation. Fact checkers gone from Facebook and Instagram. And TikTok as well, almost banned by the US government, by the previous administration, for having links to the Chinese government. They're worried about spying and security leaks, especially at top level in government. So my question really this week is this. If you are the owner of a SME and you're using one of these platforms to get yourself out there, we all do it, all of us do it. At what point do we go, no, I'm not using that anymore, and I'm going to move on to one of these new platforms? Which, if you're not Volkswagen or Sony or just another massive brand, you've got to start from scratch again. You've got to start from zero, and you've got to build up that followership yet again. And it's hard enough. LinkedIn is probably about the only one left where, I mean, LinkedIn's got its issues, right?
Mm.
But my point being this, if you are posting on Twitter, are you buying into being a Nazi? If you post on Facebook and Meta, are you saying, yeah, I don't mind about putting anything out there. I don't mind about misinformation. If you're using TikTok, are you colluding with the Chinese government? I think it's a real big, you know, if you're operating a company with morals and you care about people, I think this presents a real challenge at the moment.
I think the X one's slightly different to the Meta one on the basis of the actual connotations of what was said. I don't agree with what Mark Zuckerberg said, but I think doing that in front of the world audience is it's insensitive.
Yeah.
And again, you're on a platform which has struggled anyway for that. But I am on the fence for one main reason and one main reason only. Companies work extremely hard to build a presence on an individual platform. So I think if you've got that presence, the whole point of why people follow you is because you've created your own voice on that platform. The posts that go out are yours. It's not saying that you agree with everything that's going on that platform, but what you put out from your company is your voice. So I think that it does kind of cross over a little bit on that sense. I'm not saying, obviously, that boycotting a platform for that reason with, obviously, Elon Musk with the salute is the right or the wrong thing to do for a company. But what I am saying is that this is probably something that won't affect 90%+ of companies. And from a moral point of view, I don't think you can have anything negative to say about any companies that do pull away from that platform. But I think also you've got to consider the fact that what you put out is your tone of voice. It's your view on something. It's a platform for you to build your own reputation. It's a platform for you to make sure that you're reaching the right audience. And I think that if you was going to boycott something for things of a comment that somebody's made associated with that company or boycott it for thingy, then what do we do? Do we stop watching the BBC? Do we stop watching ITV? How far would you go with it? And I think that that's a really important thing to pick up of how far you would go with it.
I'm going to put all traditional social media platforms in the
Hall of Shame.
That's fair enough.
For causing us, you know, I've got enough on my plate, Lewis.
For causing a stir.
Without having to think about whether I'm morally on the right side of life.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm looking forward to this, Lewis. Please, so, talk to us about your big issue.
So my big issue, just for context, I've deliberated about this for quite a number of days.
Have you? Has it been on your mind?
Well, on my mind could be one extent. No, I've deliberated for quite a number of days on this, on how to actually put this across.
Right.
So, as we said at the beginning, if you have Googled it, you'll know the context behind it. If you haven't, don't do it on a work computer. Make sure you're 18 and above. So, Bonnie Blue, for those that don't know, has ended up as a bit of a viral sensation's probably the wrong word. She's gone viral. Basically, briefing over it, she set herself a challenge to sleep and record sex, obviously, with over 1,000 men in 12 hours. And that's as much in terms of detail that I will go into it. But one thing that kind of did get me thinking on this, and before you say it, I am more than happy where I'm working. I'm not thinking about doing anything along those lines. But no, one thing that's kind of gone, well, there's two sides of this. So the first thing is the what if side. So what if you do this and you don't create yourself the income that she has done off it, which I think she's up making something like £600,000 a month from these videos. So the what if is that. Which leads me on to a question for you, Martha.
Oh, God.
And you, Nick, actually.
Right.
So as business owners.
Oh, yes. That's us. Respectable business owners.
Yeah. Well, business owners.
If somebody applies for a job, obviously one of the first things that you'd do is have a little look and see if there's any background of them.
True.
So social media, anything online, if there's anything there. If somebody applied for a job and you went on and searched their name, which, again, it's a what if, and something along those lines came up, would you automatically shut that down?
Am I allowed to say yes?
Yeah.
It's, you've got to be so careful, haven't you?
Well, I mean, employment law is something that neither of us probably understand completely.
We need a lawyer.
I think, I don't know, is that, can you do that legally?
Is it discrimination before you've even got them through the door? Yeah.
I mean, I doubt that she would probably go for a job at Source.
No, and I'm not saying that she's in a position to do so.
No, but it's interesting, isn't it?
I find this really sad because she is a very attractive young woman. I'd love to know if her family support her. I think what Nikki's saying, I think if you put yourself out there like that, you're not going to be applying for jobs.
Yeah, I like the hypothetical scenario you're putting before us here.
Reputation. It's your reputation, isn't it?
Because now she will be forever known as...
For that.
For that.
Yeah.
And it's like So it kind of links in with this. So I know of people that have gone onto sites like what Bonnie Blue's doing and then they're in uni and stuff like that and they're looking for jobs and stuff. So it must constantly be a doubt in the back of your mind that... Because it's there forever. That's not going to go away. It's on the internet. It will never not be.
Mm.
So if you're at a point where actually you've done something like this and you've not managed to support yourself financially from it, we're not going to get onto the moral side of it because that could go on for the whole six episodes. But if you've got to a point and you've done something like that and you've not got the financial gain that you was hoping for, obviously the route that you would look to take would be that you'd have to find a job. But what you're doing with that is you're probably limiting sectors that you could go into. Because if you're a client-facing employee of a company, your boss isn't going to want you dealing directly with a client like that if that's all over online.
And reputation is everything, isn't it? And we work in the world of managing reputation and brand reputation, people reputation, company reputation. And it's like even just your reputation. For example, if you're in a bar and someone comes over to you and says, oh, have you seen him or her over here? Have you heard? If you don't know that person and someone's telling you something about that person, you automatically... I think it's just a human thing. Believe them,
yeah,
don't
absolutely,
you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Your brain doesn't go, oh, just a minute, there's two sides to every story. Let's see what they've got to say.
Mine does.
So good. And that is good, and that's how it should be. But reputation is everything, isn't there?
It's a hypothetical way of thinking of it.
Yeah.
Which probably leads me on to the second side of this. Mm. It has gone viral. She has made a lot of money from it. But then what we're going down in the sense of a reputation point of view is that most of your sort of like entertainment media or your mainstream news, daily news and stuff are all picking this up and celebrities are sort of saying back on it and basically saying why for the first question. But the second question is she's not necessarily been branded in one particular way. So a lot of the actual sort of branding has come back about why would you be one of 1,000 plus men queuing for that?
Yeah.
Like the moral side of it is morally wrong. And I do think that from that point of view, it's tough. I mean, like I say, she's not ever going to need to look for a job. Like we've already said that she will never need to apply for a job because she will have made millions from doing what she's doing. But on the back of the both side with the media and the actual reputation of Bonnie Blue, not her as a person, I am going to put both of them into the Hall of Shame.
Hall of Shame.
Well, let's move on to the next part of the show, and it's closely related. It's all about thankers. the part of the show where we give thanks to all the people that have been kind and beautiful to us this week. Now, we have to start with our thankers this week, with the peachy Denise McGeechie. She lets us use her podcast studio, which is based at Bracken Workspace Plus here in the beautiful city of Leeds. Thanks, Denise. We also want to give thanks to Martin Wiskin. What a thanker. He's the guy who does the voiceover at the start of this podcast. He's very good and very reasonable. Who else has got a thanker they want to highlight?
I'd like to thank all our listeners so far and the lovely messages that we've received and emails from people, mainly my family and friends.
Your family. But
thank you for all your support and listening.
So your entire family and friends are thankers. Fair enough.
I have one as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that we've linked back quite for every episode so far on this, but I would like to have my thanker as the president of the AA, Edmund King OBE.
Oh,
so what obviously our listeners won't know off this is that actually we received a really lovely email off Edmund King following having Chris Wood on the show, the AA Patrol of the Year, basically saying that he absolutely loves the podcast and he's really enjoying it so far, and thanks for having Chris on. So Edmund King OBE, you are a thanker.
What a thanker. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
If you have anybody that you'd like to thank via us on the It's ER, oh, I've done it again. It's PR, not ER, this little podcast, then please email us. The email address is there in the show notes for you to enjoy. It could be anybody, anybody at all. So drop us a line and let us know. Right, gang, it's time for the quick fire round. What order should we do this in?
I've got a really good one, and I'm actually really excited for this.
Come on, then. You first, Lewis.
IKEA.
Yeah.
Flat pack Easter egg.
What is a flat pack Easter
chocolate.
Egg?
Chocolate.
It's a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Wow.
That they've branded as a flat pack
that
Easter egg.
That is brilliant.
That is brilliant.
So, obviously, everyone loves a trip to the IKEA.
Yeah.
No, they do. They
no,
do.
They
you
do.
Can look at me like this. Not I mean, for the shopping.
It's yeah. like ski trips.
For the hot dogs, meatballs, dime cake. IKEA, if you're listening, I love the dime
don't
cake.
Don't go to IKEA with your partner if things are a bit tricky or on a ski trip, because if you want an argument, the place to go is IKEA. It's so stressful, especially with the kids. Do you not just find it so stressful?
I have to say, I walk in the front door of IKEA and my main goal is to get to the meatballs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, so basically, IKEA, they brought out this chocolate bar, and it is literally the size of like a Dairy Milk Cadbury's bar, the big one, and they have branded it up with flat pack Easter egg. So for me, that one's going into the Angelic Hall of Fame.
So Primark have launched a clothing range designed for people with disabilities. I think it's a really good positive news story. They're on the front foot with it. It's forward thinking. It looks really good. So I would like to put Primark in the Hall of Fame.
Beautiful. So my little one this week, and actually it's quite a big little one, Lewis Hamilton's first day at Ferrari.
Ferrari. He looked proud as punch, didn't
oh,
he? It was like
man.
First day at school.
Has he retired?
No.
He's gone from the Mercedes Formula One team to Ferrari.
Ah, right.
So
okay.
last year he was at Mercedes.
I thought you meant he was now working for Ferrari.
Well, yeah, he is.
Well, he is
basically, he's
but
driving
like
for Ferrari.
A
no, that would be mad. Imagine how much that would cost him if he was working in Luton as a mechanic at Ferrari. That would be nuts.
He would be the best paid mechanic in the world.
I think he would be. No, this week we saw him outside the Ferrari factory in Italy, and the PR angle on this is that he turned up with, dressed in a real smart suit with a real stylish looking coat over his shoulders. Lewis Hamilton's associate, I'm a bit of an F1 fan, Lewis Hamilton's association with Mercedes goes right back to his early karting days, like 20 plus years, more than that probably years ago. And for him to leave Mercedes as a whole entity and turn up at Ferrari, who have traditionally been their arch rivals, is a big thing. And I have to say, his PR team absolutely pulled it off. All the social media around it looked great. And the best thing was, by the side of the track at Maranello, so there's a picture of him kind of looking all cool and stuff by the Ferraris and the F1 cars and everything, and just over his shoulder you can see his mum taking pictures of him next to the cars. Aww. It was absolutely beautiful. And the fact that they put that out there is kind of really un-Ferrari-y, isn't it?
But it's like the imperfect perfect, isn't it?
It is.
And Ferrari's obviously known of that sort of perfect clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas it's just a nice angle on it. It's
and it was just, angle. There were smiles all round. Who knows if it'll be there after the first race in March, because it's him and Charles Leclerc together, and I just think that's going to be fireworks. But either way, it was beautiful to see. Good old Lewis Hamilton. Let's have an eighth this year. You are going in the Hall of Fame. Which brings us squarely to almost the end of the show. But what we need to do is do a roundup of... We've been on a right journey today. We've discussed like loads of big stuff, haven't we?
We have.
So, Lewis, the challenge remains as usual. You've got to do it while the little jingles are playing. Are you ready to tell us who is in the Hall of Fame? 3, 2, 1, go.
IKEA, Primark and Lewis Hamilton.
Easy, easy peasy. We've done, the way it's worked out this week is quite annoying. We've got three from the short ones and three from the big ones. But anyway, never mind. Who's in the Hall of Shame? 3, 2, 1, proceed.
Bonnie Blue and media outlets behind it. The teams behind Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. And social media platforms.
That's your first failure of the podcast.
No,
so
we don't
far.
Ever do it over the actual jingle.
Well, we've started it. It's only episode 3. We do what we want. It's right, tradition start right. Now.
Must do better.
We'll see if you can do it next week. So all that remains to be said is thank you so much for listening again. We do massively appreciate it. The fact that you've put up with us for 30 minutes or so, however long you do, is great. We do really, really want to hear from you. So if you want to send us an email, please do so. As I said, the address is in the show notes. Martha, what do you think might happen in the next week in the world of PR? What could happen? What could possibly happen?
I don't know where we go from this week, to be honest with you.
Lewis, what do you think? What madness could happen in the next week?
I'll be back next week with the sports roundup.
I think that might be better, Lewis.
You're going back to your sport. I think that might be better. Do you feel like we sailed a bit? I thought the what we discussed today with your one was fine, really.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything wrong with what we discussed.
No. But
I know a lot more about sport.
Yeah, he does.